The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, SmackDown Review.
And we are live to tape to the W2M Network with the Wrestling to the Max SmackDown Live review for March. What day was this? 12th, I think?
Yes, 12th.
12th, because usually I would go help my stepdad, but we had to postpone it a day, so definitely 12th. Hi, Brandon.
Hello.
2 weeks in a row. How about that?
Huzzah.
Keep this up, we might have something resembling consistency, and I don't know how comfortable I feel with that. So, I would give analysis of how our predictions went, but frankly, the pay-per-view went off the rails as far as the match and as far as the matchups went anyway, so I don't know how accurate our picks would be. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the picks, determine what matches I can and can't keep.
Yeah, because so
we have
at
kind
least
of an idea as far as our overall records.
Because I know two of them got changed during the show.
The Universal title, or not the Universal title match, that would require Brock Lesnar to show up.
To actually show up.
The WWE Championship match got turned into a triple threat, and Andrade and Rey got turned into a fatal four-way.
For the U.S.
title.
Yeah.
So, technically speaking, Daniel Bryan did retain the title, so we could still get a point for credit for that.
Yeah.
The Rey Andrade match was won by somebody who wasn't even in the original match, so we're probably just going to have to discard that for the sake of our predictions. I should probably tell everybody who we are.
I thought you did that already, but maybe I'm wrong.
I said you were Brandon. I didn't say who I was.
Well, they don't care who you are, so.
I'm the host, motherfucker. Yes, they do.
I've got the controls. I can mute your ass.
Oh, now look who's salty using big language. Shenanigans.
Yes indeed. We're gonna have more shenanigans next week.
You know, it could be worse. We could have dropped an F-bomb on a live stream and caused the WWE to delete the entire thing. Way to go, Nigel.
Wait, what? I didn't hear about this.
Okay, so they did that watch along for Fastlane on the YouTube channel and on like the Instagram page and stuff.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee hosted it, and a bunch of different people came in and did, like, basically they kind of shot the Snuffleupagus like they were watching with Fringe, which I guess to an extent they were. Well, one of the rules that they had posted for this watch along is that you weren't allowed to swear on the live stream.
And, of course, Nigel did. Lovely.
Well, Pat asked Nigel his opinion about something. Nigel started to give an answer and then started stammering. Pat saved him by giving him his idea and said, "You know what just happened there?" And then Nigel said, "Yeah, you basically just stopped me from fucking stuttering all over myself." And immediately Pat's face goes white as a ghost, and he goes over to the sign and points to the no cursing sign that's sitting right in front of where Nigel was sitting.
Well, that experiment isn't going to last more than this one time.
Yeah, I got a funny feeling that they're probably not going to do another watch-along for WrestleMania.
Yeah, no, probably not. I'm now disappointed that I didn't watch the watch-along, though.
There are various places where you would be able to see it. They are less than legitimate. We'll talk off-air. Mm.
But, well, to be fair, Seth dropped an F-bomb on the show itself.
Yeah, but Seth was muted with a 7-second delay.
True. Very true.
Was not.
True. Very true. I'll give you that.
The 411 Mania has the clip up if you're interested.
What, it unmuted?
But, yes.
Oh,
God. It's off of the, it's from, I forget what website it was, but they posted like a capture of it on their Instagram page and 411 linked to it.
Huh. Interesting.
I can send you that if you want me to.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, I'll do that after we get done here. We have okay. to have a show to discuss. I'm yeah. Aaron Brock, by the way.
What?
I'm your host.
Yes.
Just letting everybody know who I am. He's Brandon Biskoping, as you've probably gathered. He is the executive producer of this shindig.
Yep.
And this is the Wrestling to the Max SmackDown Live review for March the 12th, 2019. Let's get to the show, shall we?
Let's do it.
Here comes the money. And there went the heel turn. Heel turn, heel turn, heel turn, heel turn, heel turn.
Heel turn?
Heel turn. So, for those of you who didn't see Fastlane, and if you haven't seen Fastlane, I question why you're listening to this post-Fastlane SmackDown
yeah,
review.
Yeah, really.
But to those who haven't seen Fastlane, Shane McMahon turned on Miz at Fastlane, which is in counter predictions to what I said was going to happen. I had Miz turning on Shane.
I told you. I called this one.
Yeah. So Shane comes down to the ring and explains why he did what he did, saying that he is sick of people like Miz using him to get ahead. This Sunday, that stopped. From now on, he's going to do what he wants, the way that he wants to, because he was born the best in the world. I thought we were dropping that trophy because of WWE Saudi blood money. I mean, Crown Jewel.
No, because they're still going to use it because they don't care. I mean, if they cared, they would have, you know, maybe canceled the show or something. And I mean, hell, we're getting another one in a few months anyway.
Shane then tells Miz that he doesn't have a choice in this anyway, but it felt so good beating Miz's ass at Fastlane that he's going to continue to do so. I stuttered like my name was Nigel there for a second. Continue to do so at the grandest stage of them all at WrestleMania. I mean, we all kind of saw Miz and Shane happening at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued with Shane as the heel in this match because I don't think Shane has been a heel in the WWE since the Corporation.
Yeah, 99.
Yeah, 99 into maybe early 2000 when he was teaming with Big Show or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or feuding with Big Show. I guess technically Big Show was the face in that feud.
Who knows with Big Show?
That's fair. Are you okay with Miz and Shane? Do you think Miz deserves better? I actually feel like this is a good use for Miz. And the reason I say that is because Miz has a surprising following as a face. I didn't think that he would. I've always said that I don't think Miz is a very good babyface. But he was in white meat babyface mode in Cleveland on Sunday, but that's because Cleveland's his hometown. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be curious to see how other cities respond to him, whether or not he keeps getting those same kind of reactions like he got in Cleveland on Sunday. Are you okay with this match? Are you against it? What do you think?
I mean, the match itself, if you asked me this question, you know, 6 to 8 months ago, I would have said hell no, because everyone thought, oh, we're going to get the blow off for Miz and Bryan at Mania for the title. And people were thinking that basically this was going to happen where Miz was going to turn face and the roles were going to be reversed at Mania. But that obviously didn't happen. And in hindsight, now it's actually kind of a good thing, because if they had Miz versus Bryan planned out and Kofi still got over and we still got the Kofi Mania stuff, you know, then WWE would have been in a bit of a pickle. Whereas now, because they really didn't have a huge direct plan for Bryan at Mania, now they can use this momentum to do something right with it. But yeah, I'm fine with Shane versus Miz. You know, the storyline has been weird, and, you know, I don't care for it because, you know, for one, that whole tournament was a complete and utter joke. But also, just like, I don't know. Also, but in terms of the Miz being a face, a lot of it depends upon what he does moving forward in his promos. We still have yet to see him on SmackDown as a true face. So we don't know how the crowd will react, and we don't know how his character will change as a result of this. You know, if he still keeps his, you know, oh, I'm a Hollywood A-lister and all of that, then it's going to fall flat on its face like it did last time. But if they revamp it and make him, you know, basically like what they're doing with KO, make him into a family man and stuff like that, then it has the potential to work. I still think some fans, myself included, because Miz has been this perpetual uber heel for the vast majority of his career, a lot of people are going to be iffy on it.
I think that there's going to be a desire for him to prove himself as a babyface because he's never really been able to prove himself as a face before.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's definitely going to be the way to go here, whether or not they're going to be able to make this work. All right. We move on after Shane explains, coming soon to Nickelodeon, by the way. No? Okay, fine. Forget you too.
Nope.
Our opening contest scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
Technically, it's not because it goes to a no contest.
Yes.
But it's Aleister Black and Ricochet teaming with the Hardys to take on the Bar and how was it that we described it in the group chat? Nakasev?
Nakasev?
Or do we prefer Rusamora?
Rusamora, I think, sounds better.
I kind of like Nakasev myself, but that's just me. Anyway, regardless, it doesn't matter because the whole thing turns into a giant cluster fudgesicle at 11:05 when the New Day run in and bring the beat down specifically to Sheamus and Cesaro and to by proxy to Rusev and Nakamura. I understand why they did what they did with the New Day here to show the New Day getting a little bit of revenge over against Sheamus and Cesaro based on what happened at Fastlane. That being said, I think that you could have done something with these four teams here and set up something with the Hardys getting a pin in this match on maybe Rusev and Nakamura, one of those two eating the fall, to set up what happens next with the Usos cutting a promo, calling out the Hardy Boys, saying that they're a brother team just like them, but they're not made of the same stuff that the Usos are made of.
See, I agree with you with the whole getting the Hardys the pin to set up the match for the titles. In terms of the whole New Day thing, I get what you're saying with the whole, you know, getting revenge on Rusev and Nakamura from last week, or from Sunday, rather. But
Cesaro and Sheamus.
Oh, okay. But also, but the one thing that I would have liked to have seen them do even more with this, especially with the big, you know, announcement that, you know, was supposed to be forthcoming and everything, this would have been the perfect moment for New Day to basically say, we're sick of it, and, you know, we're not going to take it anymore, and basically do kind of like what Brian did with Occupy Raw back in the day, and him and them just, you know, pull out some chairs, sit in the ring and say, we're not moving until you give me my title shot.
See, I think that we have plenty of time to get there, and especially with the way the main event segment plays out tonight. I think that we still have plenty of time to get there, and that this was just step one in the Kofi Kingston story. We'll talk more about that later, because I don't want to put the cart before the horse here.
Fair enough.
It breaks down into a giant cluster fudgesicle, as previously mentioned. The New Day stands tall. We go to commercial and come back with the Usos promo. The rumored match is Usos Hardy for the SmackDown Tag Team titles at Mania. Buy, sell, prove, disapprove?
I like it. I'm okay with it. Both of them can, both teams can definitely work. It would be a good mid-card match to get the fans pumped up, and, you know, I mean, and if you really wanted to, if you wanted to make it even more special, you could kind of do, now granted it wouldn't work as well with Bliss being the host, and it wouldn't fit her character as much. But you could figure out a way to do it where New Day gets added, Big E and Xavier get added into it, and all three New Day stand tall at Mania.
I would not be surprised to see the SmackDown Tag Team title match at Mania turn into a ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
And then you probably end up doing the Bar, the New Day, Nakasev, Rusamura, fine. The Hardys and the Usos in a ladder match, because I think that we can agree that Aleister Black and Ricochet will probably be going after the Revival and the Raw tag team.
Oh, yes, definitely.
just since that seems to be established based on what happened on Monday there. So you can kind of keep Aleister and Ricochet over on Raw, and then you could do like a giant 16 tag match here on SmackDown. Maybe include the Good Brothers or Sanity to get them back on television as well, and just have a giant cluster fudge of a ladder match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would work. Right.
Randy Orton comes out to discuss the house that AJ Styles built, although technically speaking, it was the house that Randy Orton built, saying that while AJ was making his name on the independent scene, getting paid $10, getting paid 10 bucks a night and getting a tan in Florida with Dixie Carter, Randy Orton was carrying the WWE on his back, 2002, 3, 4, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. AJ Styles comes out to dispute this, saying that Orton, for somebody who claims to hate the indies, sure followed AJ's career closely. Orton's built for the WWE because he wouldn't have made it on the indies with his pose and a knockoff diamond cutter, which admittedly made me laugh.
Oh, yes.
It is. It always will be the diamond cutter to me.
Mm-hmm.
Orton's retort of, so you guys wouldn't know anything about your friends on the indies stealing thing, and then throws up the two sweet hand gesture that the Bullet Club used, which again popped me.
Yeah, yeah.
Styles' response was, yeah, but look around backstage now, Randy, and all those people that were doing that are now backstage taking over prominent roles in the company. Orton claims that he had done more at the age of 24 than Styles will do in his entire career. Styles says that Orton had help doing that at the age of 24 rather than Styles here, and that AJ got to the WWE without his father putting in a good word for him. Again, impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It all ends up with Orton telling AJ that this is the house that Randy built and rent is due. AJ says that if Randy wants the rent, he can come collect it at WrestleMania. We do not have an official acceptance, but let's be honest, this match has been rumored for like 6 months for Mania, and it is going to happen for the first time ever, one-on-one, AJ Styles and Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sleeper match of the night card written all over it.
Yeah, I mean, both of these guys, obviously Styles better than Orton, but both of these guys can definitely work, and it's going to be one of those very interesting matches where, and they're building it up as such, where it really is the Marks versus the Smarks. You know, it's the purely WWE fans against the more indie centric fans. And it's gonna be kinda interesting. Now at Mania, you know, considering the crowd texture, I'm sure AJ will get the vast majority of the pop. But it's gonna be kinda interesting to see, like, you know, how much of the crowd is behind Orin and whatnot. This is the best way of doing this feud. And, you know, it really sells both of them in a way where, you know, like, it doesn't really even seem like there is any really distinctive heel or face here. It's just, you know, like I said, it's WWE versus non-WWE, pretty much.
I think it's kind of a pick and choose which side you choose to fall on.
Exactly.
I had a friend who went to the SmackDown house show here in the city the day before, and it was Styles versus Orton at the house show. And she said that the crowd of that house show was almost surprisingly decidedly pro Orton. But I think,
well, because you're in an area where it's much more WWE centric. You're not in one of the big markets that there are a lot of smarks in. You know, this is the Lafayette syndrome all over again.
I'm going to disagree with that because we're in between two very smart heavy cities in Cleveland and Pittsburgh, right where I'm at.
But remember, both of those cities had actual televised shows. The day before or Pittsburgh. The day after, or either the day before or the day of. You said it was on Monday, right?
Yeah, Raw was in Pittsburgh that night.
Yeah, so all of the more smarkier fans who, you know, wanted to, you know, who were really focused on going to the show would just, you
getting
know,
their voices heard and went to Raw.
Exactly.
That's fair. That being said, I do agree with you in that I think it's going to kind of set up a independent wrestling fan versus a stereotypical WWE fan, and I agree that this is a way to go with it. There is talks of an indie invasion, an NXT invasion. I would not be surprised to see somebody like Styles involved with that, just because I feel like Styles is one of those guys who a lot of people know more so from his time on the independent scene rather than his time in the WWE.
Well, especially on SmackDown, you could have a pretty good faction just based off of the guys that have kept their names and have kept their lineage from the indies. You have Styles, you have Samoa Joe, like if you wanted to bring over Ricochet, you could put him in there as well. Bobby Roode.
I mean, it's not like him and Gable are really doing anything of note on Raw anymore.
Exactly, yeah. So, like, you could easily make a, you know, TNA / Ring of Honor / New Japan Invasion. I mean, you could use Gallows and Anderson, too, in there as well. Reform
the book. I would Gallows and Anderson to get television time.
I agree. But, you know, there is a potential. And then you could have, you know, Adam Cole.
Baby!
Come up and do stuff and, you know,
Undisputed Era in full, really.
Exactly.
Roderick, Bobby, and Kyle, too. They all kept their independent names.
Yep,
all right, let's move on. We're going to put as much effort into the SmackDown Women's Division as the WWE does. Asuka pinned Sonya Deville Asuka tapped Sonya. That's exactly how much effort they put into. They screwed up the finish. Asuka tapped Sonya Deville with the Asuka lock at 2 minutes and 45 seconds after Mandy tripped Sonya to make up for Sonya tripping Mandy at the pay-per-view. Breaking them up again, good for them. Mandy looked hot, though. I have nothing to add to this. Storyline is stupid.
How long do you think it takes? Well, first off, do you think they ever will actually pull the trigger? And then second, if you think they do, how long do you think it'll take them to pull the trigger on the breakup?
I don't think they should. I think that Sonya and Mandy work as a good team. And if they're serious about these women's tag team titles, they need as many teams as they can get. And Sonya and Mandy are an actual team. They've been together since both of them came up to the main roster.
True.
Because of their tough enough background.
True, true.
I wouldn't break them up at all, but I mean, if they seem so hell-bound and determined to do it, then I guess it's probably going to happen sooner rather than later. I would not be surprised to see Asuka versus Sonya and Mandy on the pre-show for the SmackDown Women's title.
Against both of them in a triple threat,
yes.
Okay.
Hell, you could even add people like Naomi, Carmella, and Zelina and make it a six-woman, make it like a gauntlet match or something. It's not like any of them really matter.
Exactly.
The closest thing to mattering in that division is Asuka, and even that's questionable at this point.
Mm-hmm. You know what's kind of funny? This is the second time that Asuka has been at the head of a very weak women's division.
Yeah, but her NXT women's division at least had Ember Moon in it. There's nobody that fills that Ember Moon shoes over on SmackDown right now.
Well, yes. Well, I mean, you could make Naomi look like that, but they choose not to.
Naomi's a better athlete than Ember is. Ember's a better wrestler.
I'll agree with that. But, I mean, especially when she was doing the stuff and then eventually winning the title at Mania a couple of years ago, she was great. I like Naomi.
I've never been sold on Naomi, so you're going to get nothing but indifference from me out of that. Sorry.
Fair enough.
The Iconics challenged Sasha and Bayley to a women's tag team title match. The rumor is a four-way for the women's tag team titles. Sasha and Bayley defending against the Iconics, Nia and Tamina, and the Divas of Doom.
That's the rumor?
That would be Natty and Beth.
No, I get that. I would change that up on one level, especially considering what Sasha and Bayley said a couple of weeks ago. It should be Sasha and Bayley versus the Iconics, Divas of Doom, and Sky Pirates.
Yeah, but I think they want to keep Kairi and Io in NXT, and especially with Io probably challenging Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's title at TakeOver on Friday night.
Well, we'll find out about that tonight, but
recording on Wednesday for those wondering.
But like if they're not going to do anything with them saying that we're, you know, going to compete on all three shows, then what's the point? Well, this is the perfect opportunity for them to do something with that Mania.
I think we are going to see them competing on NXT television. They just showed up on NXT TV like last week or 2 weeks ago, because last week was the first round of the Dusty. Mm-hmm. But they just showed up there on TV 2 weeks ago. And you got to think, with all the taping in advance that NXT does, it'll probably be in the next taping cycle coming up here that we see them on NXT TV again.
Potentially.
Becky Lynch comes down to the ring and talks about everything that she's gone through over the course of the last 3 months, given from when she started taking off to winning, to losing the title back in December, to winning the Rumble, to being hurt, suspended, arrested, unsuspended, resuspended, arrested a second time. But now she's back and she's in the main event of WrestleMania. The one line that made me laugh is, how do you outsmart somebody who doesn't have a brain? I'm not going to say that that's accurate, but it was damn sure funny.
Mm-hmm.
She tricked Rhonda into doing her bidding, to which Charlotte comes out and says, that's exactly what happened. Becky didn't earn her way into the spot. She was gifted a spot here. She was given a handout, and that the queen, Miss WrestleMania, which is the stupidest fucking nickname that Charlotte could give herself, is going to stand atop her throne come WrestleMania as the women's champion, making Lynch and Rousey relevant. Lynch closes the segment out by saying that while Charlotte did nothing for 4 years, she's done everything that she's done to get hot in 6 months, and that the women's division doesn't need a queen. It needs the man. Mic drop. So I know that we've been heading towards this triple threat for all this time here. And the rumor being, and I know we talk about a lot about rumors here on the show, but that's because we really don't have like a standard show to discuss this stuff with. We should work on that. We should do like an actual Wrestling to the Max. We should bring that back. Mm-hmm. I wonder who we'd talk to about that, where we actually discuss the rumors and the innuendos. And yeah, I'm going to get sued by Bruce Pritchard now. Anyway. The talk is that the reason that Charlotte and Becky are both in this match is so that one of them can drop the fall and stick around a feud while protecting Ronda, which I think is dumb. If Ronda is taking time off from the WWE on after WrestleMania, beat her at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Let her come back pissed off after a loss. Beat her at WrestleMania. That way you can protect who's staying around and whose talents you're going to have to use to build your roster. And Ronda can come back pissed off that she lost, much like Lesnar did when he lost to Cena at Extreme Rules in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Protecting people that are leaving your company does nothing for your company.
I thought that was one of the big, things that you did in pro wrestling. You know, if you're leaving, you're putting someone over.
I mean, Pro Wrestling History 101 says you go out on your back.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather or not that actually happens nowadays is anybody's guess. Scale of 1 to 10, how interested are you in this triple threat?
I'll give it a 7.5. I mean, I've kind of been, I've been following all the rumors and everything, so, like, I've seen it coming ever since, the Rumble. I mean, I saw it coming even before the Rumble. But, the way they handled it, it was way too convoluted for me. Yes, I understand that they tried to draw it out and make it to where, like, the storyline didn't get stale, in the 3 months between Royal Rumble and Mania. But in their effort to not make it stale, it got stale because they just went through all of these hoops and twists and turns. And it was just like, honestly, they made Becky look like an idiot. Well, they made pretty much everyone look like an idiot. Because, first off, Becky, refuses to go to the doctor, and then the next week she goes. It was like this whole thing. I mean, I'm sure the match is going to be good. The crowd is going to be on fire for Becky. All of that. I'm sure Becky's more than likely going to win, and, the pop is going to be huge for it. But the way they handled this was just terrible. It's prototypical WWE. You take an absolute on-fire angle or on-fire performer, and they, simmer them down like crazy.
I don't know that they've simmered Becky down. I think the convolution is the problem here.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't talking about simmering down Becky. I was talking about simmering down the whole feud.
Let me finish.
Okay.
The problem is I don't think people were interested in Charlotte being added into that match. They felt that they had to put Charlotte in that match to protect people. No, you do Becky and Ronda one-on-one, which is what people were looking forward to at Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte had her match with Ronda, and if you were going to run Charlotte and Ronda back again, you should have done that at the Rumble. You had the hottest woman in arguably ever in wrestling history in Becky Lynch, and you're taking away from her by adding another person into her WrestleMania moment that should be her one-on-one title opportunity against Ronda Rousey. What you decide to do in the Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch match is completely and entirely discretionary. I'm not going to tell them how to book that.
Mm-hmm.
That is up to them. That is their decision to make. And it's going to depend on what Ronda wants to do. It's going to depend on what Becky wants to do. And it's definitely going to depend on what Vince wants to do. Charlotte should not be in that match.
Oh, I agree with that. I guess that's the reason why they had to get so convoluted is because, you know, they made it to where the fans were basically forced to want a triple threat.
Your guess is as good as mine.
But all right, I don't know.
Just because, like I said, I'm on a little bit of a time crunch today, so we got to keep cracking here. All right, so up next, Daniel Bryan is interviewed by Caleb Braxton as he comes out of Vince McMahon's office. We find out what Bryan said a little bit later on in the show. He does inform us that the main event match for the evening will be him and Rowan teaming up to face Kevin Owens and Mustafa Ali a little bit later on. I didn't do the one fall thing for Asuka and didn't deserve it.
Didn't.
Your next contest is scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
It is a tag match.
Play.
With Rey Mysterio and R-Truth taking on Samoa Joe and Andrade Cien. Nope, he lost that. Never mind. Hitting all the hits tonight, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Rey and Truth pick up the win when Rey pinned Joe with a waistlock roll-up out of an attempt at the Uranagi at 6 minutes and 20 seconds, seemingly setting up Joe and Rey for a one-on-one match at WrestleMania for the U.S. title. Rather or not that actually happens is anybody's guess. That being said, if Rey is motivated and Rey is healthy, Rey versus Joe is another one of those matches at Mania that could be like, oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I do question Rey's choice of attire on SmackDown last night. What the hell, man? What the hell? It looked like his skin suit had a thong. Like, what the hell? No, just no. Okay, your thoughts on the match?
Honestly,
Rey's distracting attire aside.
I mean, it was a solid tag match. Yeah, nothing really crazy, but, yeah.
Do you like Rey and Joe for the U.S. title?
I'd be okay with it. I don't really know what.
Kind of screws Truth.
Yeah, it really does. Because that's the thing. They were saying that it was advertised that Truth was going to face Joe one-on-one last night. And apparently that would have taken Truth out of the title picture. So I don't know what they're doing with this. I wouldn't at all be surprised to see, you know, another multi-man for the U.S. title with this one.
Well, actually, you know what I could see happening here is, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see them go mixed tag at WrestleMania on the pre-show with Truth and Carmella against Andrade and Selena.
That could be, yeah, I could see that. This still leaves, well, actually, not really. Never mind. I was going to say this leaves someone else up in the air, but I'm pretty sure we know where he's going now.
Who?
Cena.
Angle?
Yes.
Probably. Although I am hearing strong support for Angle versus Finn Balor at WrestleMania, which I would also be okay with.
The rumor I saw today for Balor was one that I've been calling for a long time. And if it is indeed his actual last match and he's fully done after this Mania, it would be a great way to get Finn even more over and hopefully get the Demon back, you know, further into the picture. Undertaker.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see Taker wrestling at Mania this year. There's not enough time to build to it. We'll see what happens, but yeah. I don't. Hi, Wolford. Welcome to the show. We were waiting. All right. After the match, Joe is pissed off, as one tends to be when one gets pinned by a 5'5" Mysterio, and proceeds to lay out both Truth and Andrade with Uranagis. No, Uranagi! Never mind. I hadn't worked that one in yet.
No.
Our main event match, kind of, is scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
Man, this is the Teddy Long special tonight, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Three out of the four matches were Teddy Long's.
Yep. Well, it is SmackDown.
It does make sense. If anything, they should bring Teddy back to run SmackDown so that way they can just keep booking tag matches for you. And everybody will have stuff to do. And if they're not in tag matches, they go one-on-one with The Undertaker.
Teddy Long.
The main event is Daniel Bryan teaming with Rowan to take on Kevin Owens and Mustafa Ali. The finish comes when Ali does not make the tag when he had the opportunity to make the tag, and instead finds himself on the receiving end of a claw chokeslam from Rowan for the pinfall at 9 minutes and 45 seconds. I like the fact that they're protecting Kevin since he's just coming back. But eventually, Mustafa's going to have to win one of these main event matches in order to be taken seriously, right?
I think he will eventually. It's going to be interesting. Like, I don't know why the hell they put him in the title match, first off, because that was just a death nail.
He was supposed to be in the title match at Elimination Chamber, and this was his make good.
But it didn't help him because it was basically a Rey Mysterio Royal Rumble type situation.
Well, if you recall in our group chat, I think I actually sent a message that said, wow, Mustafa got that Rey Rumble heat.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
At the same time, though, I think Mustafa was able to turn the crowd around in his favor there. And then he had the crowd in his favor for most of this match as well. The important thing to me is the fact that he didn't make the tag to Owens when he had the opportunity to at the end of the match. Mm-hmm. And that's where I believe it's going to come in and end up playing into what happens going forward over on SmackDown here. Maybe Kevin Owens isn't as babyface as we thought he is. Maybe he goes after Ali for costing him his opportunity, both at Fastlane and then costing him this tag match as well.
Yeah, I could pretend. I could certainly see that.
And then Ali could team up with the other guy from Kevin's past who's Muslimic.
What?
The other guy from Kevin Owens' past who's Muslimic.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Because Sammy and Mustafa would have that in common.
Mm-hmm.
They're both of quasi. Well, I don't know if Sammy's actually of Arabic descent, but I know he is Muslim.
I think he is. I think isn't he like Lebanese or something?
He might. I technically he's from Canada, but he might be of Lebanese descent. I think his real name is like Remy Sabay or something like that. So it's entirely possible. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Mustafa end up in a program with Kevin Owens after this, and possibly as a way to bring back Sami Zayn as well.
Mm-hmm.
And now the big reason that we're here, your main event segment, scheduled for lots of talking.
Lots of talking, yeah.
Thank you. Vince McMahon comes down to ringside as Bryan and Rowan make their way backstage, kind of nodding to the fact that they had their conversation earlier on in the show. Vince gets about a third of the way into his speech, and the New Day in its entirety interrupts. Big E puts on his man pants and tells Vince that they don't give a damn about learning any lessons from Vince, which I thought was nice. Big E standing up for his buddy. And honestly, to me, Big E came off as the biggest star of the three in this segment until Kofi started speaking. Because you could actually see the passion and the intensity that Kofi was speaking with because he believed everything that he was saying.
So oh, yeah.
He's not asking for a free ride. He's not asking for a handout. He came to WWE 11 years ago with a dream, and he's had the opportunity to live his dream for those 11 years. He's proven that he's worthy, doesn't complain, busts his ass while others have been given opportunities, given up on countless family events, weddings, vacations, never been trick-or-treating with his kids, which I thought was a touching moment too, but the one line that I did take issue with, and then we'll get to the match, and we'll get to the rest of this thing itself. You have never allowed someone like me to compete for the title.
But yeah. I was like, ooh, wow, they're actually going that route?
Did not care for that line at all. Do not make this about race.
Well, I think it was something where, like, they put it out there because a lot of people are thinking about it. But they move, like, they kind of just went past it, you know?
The thing that set Kofi off was the fact that Vince had a conversation with Daniel Bryan earlier in the show, and Daniel Bryan called Kofi a B-plus player.
That was an interesting little twist because it brought back memories from 2014.
Which kind of makes me think that this is going to be similar to Bryan's run towards WrestleMania 30.
Well, I've been feeling that ever since it started with the Gauntlet match. This definitely feels like, while it definitely feels like WWE, at least on a shoot level, aren't trying to screw him as much. You know, they are definitely trying to get that WrestleMania type feel to this.
Eventually, Randy Orton makes his way out, followed by Samoa Joe, Rowan, and the Bar. Well, the Bar, then Rowan. And Vince says that if Kofi Kingston can run the gauntlet of all five of them, Orton, Joe, the Bar, and Rowan, then he gets the opportunity against Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. A, something screwy is going to happen between now and then. B, I would not be surprised to see Kofi get to the end of that gauntlet and then get pinned by Rowan after Bryan interferes.
What kind of screwy thing will happen ahead of time, you think? More people getting at it?
I think, yeah, you could see more people getting at it, and then you could see it breaking down to the point where we have similar to the Occupy Raw that we had over on SmackDown with New Day staging the sit-in.
That's true. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting. As long as it ends up finishing with Kofi winning the title at Mania, then I'm fine with it. I don't want, at the same time, though, I don't want them to go so crazy and wishy-washy and, you know, make it as convoluted as they have with Becky and all of that.
Well, one of the other ideas that I've seen tossed around is that Big E cost Kofi the title at Mania.
And that I wouldn't like that just because it would, you know, do all this work all for nothing. If you want to do that afterwards, where Kofi wins the title and then Big E kind of gets, you know, disgruntled and whatnot and wants a title shot and attacks Kofi from behind after he won the title or something like that, you could do that. But, you know, I definitely want to see Kofi win the title here.
All in all, what did you make of the main event segment?
I liked it a lot. It was a lot of fun. You know, it was another great way to build up this, you know, rift between McMahon and Kofi and put more blocks in the way of Kofi and everything. I'm hoping that they don't go too convoluted. They just have him win the title, or not win the title, but win the gauntlet match next week so that you can actually have a couple of weeks to build Bryan versus Kofi.
And that's going to officially wrap up this particular episode of SmackDown for March the 12th. Scale of 1 to 10, Brandon, where do you fall?
I'll give it an 8. It was a good, solid show. It was a lot of fun, you know, and they did a good job of building everything they needed to build for Mania.
I'm a little bit higher than that. I'm at a 7.5. And the reason I'm at a 7.5...
I said 8.
Oh, well, then I'm a little bit lower than you are. I thought you said 7, my mistake. I'm at a 7.5 because I feel like there's a way to improve the undercard here. Like, you've got to do something more with the women's division. The women's division on SmackDown is a mess right now. And when you have arguably the most dominant women's champion of the last decade in the WWE and Asuka as your champion, and it's still such a mess, that's a problem with the storytelling there. The undercard is starting to come together nicely on SmackDown. Shane McMahon and The Miz, AJ Styles and Randy Orton, Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio for the U.S. title, the potential mixed tag team match between Truth and Carmella against Zelina and Andrade. There are definitely good stories being told in the undercard. Obviously, the main level storyline right now with Bryan and Kofi is what has everybody's attention. And I believe that if they can keep the fire burning on this, then this could be one of the hottest matches for the crowd at WrestleMania. Placement is going to be key, though, because for a 5-hour show, you're going to want to get that Kofi pop early. So you're going to want to have that match relatively early into the show, in my opinion.
You think so?
All the fans are still alive and active. Yes, I do.
That would actually be a good way to keep the fans happy and focused, because the one thing I remember last year was how the Asuka Charlotte match went on pretty early and basically just knocked the crowd dead.
So we're going to have to see what happens as far as its placement goes, but there's definitely an interest in the main event level scene over on SmackDown that probably isn't there for the main event level scene on Raw because of Brock Lesnar's inconsistent appearances.
Mm-hmm.
What's your one-word review for SmackDown?
I'm going to say progression. Like you said, you know, and like I said before, this built a lot of different things and got a lot of matches either completely set up officially or, you know, close to set up for Mania.
I was going to go with advancement, which is basically along the same line.
Mm-hmm.
We're definitely starting to see the planning stages for the Blue Brand for WrestleMania. I still think that you could probably do separate WrestleMania shows and get away with it, and having a 3-hour Raw Mania and a 3-hour SmackDown Mania, rather than trying to fit everything together into a 7-hour supercard and burning out the fans. But WrestleMania is what WrestleMania is, so they're going to do it big. I just question whether or not people are going to care about a lot of the matches that they're making, because there are some potential for some really good matches if the fan reactions can motivate the workers. Let me ask you that question here before we get out of here, Brandon. What do you think about the possibility of doing WrestleMania as a 2-night event in the future? Do you like it? Do you dislike it?
I don't know how they would do it on so many different levels. Yes, in theory, it's a good idea, but especially with TakeOver now and the Hall of Fame ceremony and all of that and everything else that revolves around WrestleMania, I don't know how they would do it.
I think that if the semantics could be figured out, like you do Hall of Fame earlier in the afternoon on Saturday, and then do Saturday night and then Sunday night.
That could be, that it, yeah, you
that
could
it
do that.
Might be feasible. The only concern for me, though, is that's a lot of production that the staff would have to put in order to get everything set up for those two different sets there. Like, in order to differentiate between the two Manias, so that way Raw and SmackDown each have a unique look for Mania, their own individual Manias. I think it would be doable, but I do think it would take some effort.
Yeah, it would take a lot of effort. It's not like New Japan where they can just say, oh, we're just going to do a second night. You know, no, there's a lot more involved with Mania. You know, are you going to move? I mean, technically, I mean, I guess they have done TakeOver. They've moved TakeOver to Friday already, but, you know, where are you going to move the Hall of Fame ceremony, all of that? You know, it's doable, but it would take a lot of, you know, moving around of things.
there would definitely have to be some reshuffling in order to make it work.
Yes.
So that's going to be the question as to whether or not they're willing to do so.
Yes.
I think that wraps us up, Brandon.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
On Twitter at @Bisco_GothamSN and on Facebook.
How are you coming along with your old school WCW and WWE watching?
I still have to start it because, Tori's been home a bunch, so, I'm gonna try to start maybe tomorrow or something, watching, the first couple of shows, and then we can get things on the road.
The reason I ask is because I'm halfway through the first episode of Nitro already.
Okay.
So whenever you want to get going for How the War Was Won, we can start doing them.
Will do.
Just the sooner we get it started, the more fresh these shows are in my memory,
yes,
the better.
Yes, of course. Yes.
HEB the Eagle on Twitter, even though I admittedly barely use it. You can find me on Facebook by looking for Harry Broadhurst, or you can join me in the Wrestling to the Max or the Chair Shot Facebook groups. In addition, if you're interested in written work by myself, you can check out reviews for Progress Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, and soon AEW, well, All In anyway, coming over to the Chair Shot.
You mean Double or Nothing?
No, All In.
Oh.
All In is technically an AEW show.
Oh, no. Oh, you were talking about past shows. Okay, I thought you were talking about future stuff. Okay.
Probably not going to do Double or Nothing until the All In 2.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm going to try to keep the same formula I do with Impact, that I review the previous pay-per-view right before the next one, so that way everybody gets a refresher of what went down at the last show. That's when they add the shows to the Global Wrestling Network, too.
Fair enough.
But yeah, he's Brandon Biskoping. I'm Harry Broadhurst. This has been the Wrestling to the Max SmackDown Live Review for March 12th, 2019, here on the W2M Network. The W2M Network is available on all of your favorite podcast listening devices, such as iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podbean, and CastBox, amongst many others. If you're looking for us, odds are you can find us by searching on your favorite podcast devices. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you guys next week here on the W2M SmackDown Live Review here on the W2M Network.